with me and turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 11. And we will read verses 6 through 10. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 6 through 10. We have had a blessed morning. Amen. Certainly in worship. I want to thank our musicians. Excellent job. Those of you on the praise team, excellent job. Those of you who are in the choir, excellent job. You know what? This is our year of excellence, right? So excellence should be identified. It shall be, we should lift it up and talk about how good a job that y'all have done. And so I'm going to say this in the hearing of everybody, because I got a microphone. In the hearing of everybody, musicians, y'all have done an excellent job this morning. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise for them. Choir and praise team, excellent job. All right, now if we can just get y'all to do an excellent job in finding those other 100. 90, oh, that's right. No, we're down to 96. We got 90. The houses are in the house. Amen. Where are the Dorchesses? Okay, they didn't make it today. Amen. All right. Now, you've had more than enough time to get to Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll read verses 6 through 10. All of you who have your Bibles, wave them in the air. And those of you who don't, shame on you. Shame on you. You can't tell the players without a program. All right. And it reads on this wise, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out. No, we want to go to 8. Y'all reading 6. No, we want to go to 8. Did I say 6? Yes. Oh, my goodness. No, y'all, the good thing y'all brought a Bible. So that way we can go to 8. All right, come on. We're going to go to 8. We're going to start at 8. I know I said 6, didn't I?
And 7 and 8.
Okay, but we're going to start at 8. All right, now 8 reads on this wise. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And so just for a few moments of your time, we want to talk from the subject, faith worthy of renown. Faith that is worthy of renown. Before you take your seats, let us go unto God in prayer. Merciful God, our Father, we come to you now in prayer. Lord, we just say thank you. Thank you for the privilege and the opportunity of being able to come into the house of prayer just one more time. We thank you for a reasonable portion of health and strength. We thank you that you allowed us to see a day that was not promised to us and put it in our hearts to come this way, that we might give you praise, glory, and honor. We ask, Father God, that you open our hearts and our minds to receive that which you have for us this day. Our prayer is that we don't leave this place the same way that we came in, but Lord, that we would leave with a greater fire, a greater desire to serve and worship and tell others about a God who sits high, looks low, loves us all, and has sent his only begotten Son to redeem us all. My prayer is, Father God, that you would decrease me and that you would increase your Holy Spirit, that your word and the word would go forth, touch hearts, touch minds, and do the work that you have purposed it to do, some to be encouraged, some to be exhorted, and others still to come into a saving knowledge of you. Now, these and all other things, we do ask and do pray in the mighty and matchless name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and we all do say amen, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Faith that is worthy of renown. Here in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we find that the writer begins to write about individuals who have had instances of faith that are worthy of being recounted. And if you think about it, much of the stuff that we do in life is really not worthy of recognition. I mean, think about it. You know, nobody should ever get an award for being the laziest soul. Amen. And, you know, or we shouldn't give out awards for who has sat on the couch the longest or who's watched the most television nonstop. You know, we'll go home and be like, okay, well, I'm a binge watch. And so you'll sit up and on the couch eating popcorn or anything else you can lay your hands on. You know, get some red soda, you know. Yeah, don't be acting like you don't know what I'm talking about. Get you some red soda water and some fried fish. And, you know, there you are. You eating Cheetos and watching all seven episodes of the Game of Thrones. Just so you can figure out what the whole show was about. But nobody should get an award for those type of things. Matter of fact, we should probably find a way to rectify those things. We shouldn't be sitting on the couch eating. Maybe we might need to go to the park and do something. But all these things that I've identified, these are things that we should not emulate. These are not things that we should admire. But yet we find here that in this 11th chapter of Hebrews, the writer begins by giving us a definition of faith. And this is what he says. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then the author goes about and applies the definition to evaluate the action of the elders. He talks about Noah and he talks about Abel. He talks about even a little bit about Adam. But he gets to the point here where he talks about Abraham. And here when he talks about Abraham, he goes on, he says, the actions of these elders, they have caused them to have a good report. Right. Now, really, if you think about it, Abraham didn't sing any songs. He didn't write any psalms. He didn't write any of the books of the Bible. He did some stuff like we would do stuff, right? You know, there's some instances where he got scared and he told his wife, don't tell the people that you're my wife. Because they might kill me so they can have you. Tell the people you my sister. Right? And he didn't do it once, but he did it twice. Now, if I was Sarah, I'd be like, man, this is an old song. This is like, you know, either I'm your wife or what. But he does these things because he is afraid. And we find that in both these instances, God intervenes on his behalf. And he rectifies the situation, making it so that he can have his wife back. But not only that, the Bible has a funny way of when the Bible writes about men in general, the Bible makes plain all of the good things we've done. Come on now. But it also makes plain all the sketchy stuff you've done. Yes, you know, Abraham wasn't without his issues.
That's right.
But yet and still, he is called the friend of God. All the things that Abraham didn't quite do right, but yet and still, God loves him enough to call him my friend. So if you haven't given up on me, if you haven't thrown in the white flag of surrender, we want to talk about some substantive faith, and we want to talk about significant faith. But if you remember this sentence, you'll have the whole sermon. Faith that is worthy of a good report calls on us to endure all our trials, all our tribulations, all our temptations, so that we might receive a good end.
Amen.
Amen. If you remember that, you remember the sermon. First of all, faith that is worthy of a good report is a faith that calls. Here in the eighth verse, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place, should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed.
Yes.
And he did what? He went out, not knowing where he went. A faith that calls you to go. Amen. And even today, in our New Testament, the charge that is given to the church is not to come ye, but is a go ye. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, in Mark chapter 16, to go ye out into all. Did it say some? No, it said go ye out into all the world. What? And make what? Disciples. It's a call to go. Here God speaks to Abraham, and you know what? The Bible doesn't even say why God chose Abraham. He just simply chose Abram. Actually, we're saying Abraham, but originally when the call went out, his name was Abram. And Abram, according to the way the name is, just means high father or mighty father. When God changes his name, he changes it to Abraham, which is father of a multitude. And he does this because the call is given. Abraham receives the call and Abraham goes. Now look at this. Abraham was not a young man when he got the call. The Bible says he was 75 years old when God spoke to him and told him to go. Now, I'm going to say this to y'all. Y'all can get mad at me if you want. But age, if you 75 plus, you at a good age where God can use you. Amen. Amen. And that was his start. Amen. He just got started at 75. Some of you, look, I'm 54, and I figure, well, if God can't really use me until I get to 75, man, I'm going to really be something. Amen. I'm still a baby. I got another 20 years before I hit my stride. Some of y'all in your stride. Amen. And can you imagine leaving your house? I mean, leaving all that you know and taking your, can you imagine the conversation that he had with Sarah? Come on, baby. I just heard from God. And God told me to tell you that we're going to leave everything we know. And we're going to go someplace, and she'd be like, where are we going? Well, I don't rightly know. But we got to go because God said go. Now, a conversation could have went one of two ways. It was either, come on, baby, let's go. Or it's like, man, what is wrong with you? Go back and talk to God again and make sure that this is what God wants you to do. Look, I heard somebody say that's right. But he was called to go. And the Bible says that also it is also a call to receive. See, Abraham was not just called to go, but see, God is gracious in the sense that he may not tell you where to go, but he'll supply your needs as you go. Have you ever stepped out on faith, don't know how you're going to make it happen? All you know is all you have is a promise from God that if you simply go, he will make a way. He will show you how to get there. Matter of fact, you ever pray for God and then what you got didn't come the way that you thought it was going to come? Amen. You thought you was going to be blessed. You said, well, God told me to be a teacher. Okay, so I'm going to be a teacher. All right, so I guess that means that I ought to go and learn how to teach. I guess you should. But I ain't got no money. That's all right. God said go teach. You go learn how to teach. He'll make a way for you. And then don't you know, God is funny like that. He make ways for you, and you don't even know you got a way made for you. My point, when I got my job some 30 years ago, I wanted to be a fireman. I did not want to be a police officer. I had no desire to be a police officer, but I went there to the city, and I went there, and I filled out the application, and there was a little old lady there, and she looked like one of the mothers of the church, and she said it just like this. I believe you me, she said it just like this. She said, baby, the police department is hiring too, and you need to put in one for them. And I sat there and I looked at the woman and I'm like, I don't want to be a police officer. But she was so nice. And she just kind of like overrode my spirit. And so I'm like, okay. So I put in the application. And so as I'm going through the process, I'm taking the test. I pass the test. I go through. They say, well, do the physical agility. And I'm like, well, I'll do it. So in preparation, so when the fire department call me, I'll be ready, right? So I go and I pass it. And then they say, well, go talk to the psychologist and see if you're not crazy. And they said, well, your tree looks good, so I guess you pass. And so some of y'all who've been through the city test know about the tree. So then I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, you a little bit heavier than, you know, you're supposed to be. And so at that point, I'm like, I don't care. Because I didn't want to be a police officer anyway. But then, you know how God is. God will send people your way, and they will talk to you in such a way that you will do what it is that they would have you to do. I get a call from this brother. I don't know him. To this very day, I don't remember his name. All I know is that I got a phone call from a black man, and the black man said, do you want this job? And I'm like, who are you, and why are you on my phone? It could have been. And so he was to me. So I'm like, well, who are you, and why are you calling me? He said, you applied to be on the police department, right? I said, yeah. He said, well, how come you ain't seen the doctor? I'm like, well, he said, do you want the job? I said, well, I ain't got nothing else going on. Yeah, I want the job. He said, then take your, and he added some sentence enhancers. I'm like, who am I talking to? Does he work for the city? But you know what? People have to talk to you in a certain way for you to respond. And he said all the right things in all the right way to get me off my couch to go see the doctor, who said, ain't nothing wrong with you. You have a start date on such and such. And here it is, 30 years later, I done worked my job. Why? Because I had faith enough to go down to apply. It didn't work. I applied because I needed a job. I like to eat like everybody else. I like to have a car like everybody else. I'd like to have a house to live in like everybody else. God knew I needed these things. And God said he knows that what the things that we need. So he said, yeah, it ain't going to come the way that you want. But I can tell you what, I've blessed many people on this job. I've got to see things I never thought I would see. I got to talk to people and lead them to Christ. Amen. Don't tell nobody. I got to lead them to Christ on this job. He put me here for a reason. Why? Because I heard the call and I responded. And he filled and he gave me what it is that I needed. Same is true with Father Abraham. He responded to a call. He received the call. And then the Bible says he obeyed. Our problem is oftentimes that God will call you. He has a specific job for you. And you're afraid to step out. In other words, you're afraid to obey. God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God will have you act out of character, but he'll never have you act out. He'll have you act out of your character, but he'll never have you act out. What do you mean, preacher? Can I make it plain? I put it to you this way. Oftentimes, our responses to most things are fear. Amen. That's the reason why you got more in a particular savings account that don't earn you no money, because you know you won't lose no money. But don't you know you got to put money in places to make money? But most of us got more than what we should in a stagnant account and very little in the account that is making us money. I can't. Okay. Sometimes we'll forego an investment because the risk is too much. But don't you know that when God sent God to die for us, the investment he makes is to redeem us. If God doesn't send God to redeem us, we never reap the investment. We are lost perpetually. But God sees fit to send Jesus, his only begotten son, to die for us. Old raggedy, old shabby us, but yet and still he loves us. I don't know about you, but most raggedy things I toss. But God loves us so much, and even in our raggediness, He loves us and keeps us. Faith that calls, but not only a faith that calls, faith that is worthy of a good report is a faith that not only calls, but is also a faith that endures. It says here in our Bible that by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. God made a promise to Abraham. The moment that he calls Abraham unto him, he tells Abraham of that promise. This is after Abraham left the certain to go into the uncertain. This is after Abraham, as he was walking out, there was a fellow by the name of Lot. It was his nephew. Now, Lot loved him some Abraham. You know why I know Lot loved Abraham? Because Abraham told Lot the same story. Uncle Abe, where you headed? I don't know. God just said go. Can I come too? I don't know where I'm going. I don't care. You going. Well, come on. And so Abraham and Lot take off and go to a place that Abraham has been called to. Now, can I stop and put a pin here for a moment? I tell every man that every man, and certainly every woman, should have a mentor and a mentee. That means there ought to be somebody in your life who can pour into your life, who can talk to you and give you good advice. And then by the same token, there ought to be someone in your life that you have taken by the hand or by the shoulder or by the scruff of the neck and pour into their life. Because anybody who has had some children or has had some sons realizes that they don't always listen to their parents. But it's a funny thing. You tell your kids stuff, and it be good stuff. And you be like, man, if you do this, you gonna get something good out of it. Uh-huh. Okay. But you let one of them little raggedy friends they got go tell them the same thing. All of a sudden, Dad, I got a good idea. What's that? Oh, well, you know, they said I could learn this, that, and the other, and I could get paid some money. And I'm sitting there going, that didn't necessarily originate with your friend. But, you know, you're just so happy that they doing. Right, right. You ain't going to say nothing. It's like, man, put some water. Don't put no water on that fire. Burn, baby, burn. Yeah. You know, run with that thing. Amen. But the only way that you can pour into somebody's life is that you have to be available for them to be poured into. You got to go to some things that you don't necessarily want to go to. You got to endure some things that you don't necessarily want to endure. I did not understand basketball, and really it was not a major thing for me. But my son loves basketball. He loves basketball, and so I'm like, well, I'm going to test him. I'm going to see how much he loves him. Because truth be told, I don't just want to be going to every game. So I went and I found a league. And this is one of them leagues where the kids, like, I don't know if they had a referee. I think they did. But, you know, for the most part, they let them play. And they was just hacking the living daylights out of each other. And at the end of the game, I would ask him this one question. I didn't care how many points he scored, but I would ask him this one question. Did you have fun? And he said every time, Dad, I had fun. I'm like, okay, he's serious. Now I got to find some people that can actually teach him how to play. And so God is the same way with us. Don't you understand that some of the trials you've gone through is just to see, will you go through? Or will you hang to the end? Will you buck up? You know, pull up, buck up, and hustle out the door. Are you willing to undergo the trials? Are you willing to undergo the test? Are you willing to undergo? Because there's a promise at the end. And if you hold on and hold out, the promise will come. Why? Because my God is faithful. If you would just stand by and endure. The Bible tells us that he endured in the land. He went to the land. He found the land. God said, this is your land. He said, for as far as you can see, to the north, the south, the east, and the west, as far as you can see, that's yours. And so he said, well, it's God. He's the master of the universe, and he said, this is mine. This is mine. See, our problem is oftentimes is that God will make promises to us, and we'll hear the promise, and we're sure that, yeah, God did say that, but we won't act like it's the promise that was given to us. You living in coach, and you should be riding in first class. Because you won't tell the stewardess that I need to be sitting in first class. There's a friend of mine, he flies a lot. One day he got a letter in the mail that was telling that told him that he had upgraded from coach to first class. That because he was now a member of this particular flight club, that whenever he had a flight, he could automatically go from coach to first class. Well, he didn't think much of it. He read it, and okay, I got to go. I got other stuff I need to do. So he books himself a flight. He gets on the flight. He's late for the flight. He gets on the plane. The stewardess tells him, The steward tells him, because, you know, I got in trouble using the wrong gender. The steward tells him, find a seat and sit down. Of course, he's so used to coach living, he goes to coach, sits down in coach. He lays down, closes his eyes for a moment. Flight takes off there in the air. He picks up his flight information. It shows that he should be in another seat. He waves down the steward, says, say, steward, you know what? This is not my seat. Where is my seat? She looks at it and she says, oh, sir, you're sitting in the wrong seat. Yeah, I know that. Your seat, sir, is up here in first class. You are Mr. Such and such, because I don't throw his name out there. You're Mr. Such and such. I've been looking for you. Come on and get your seat. They take him up to first class. Now, I don't know if any of y'all have ever flown in first class, but y'all can't even look up in the first class. Amen. If you and coach, they close the screen. And that's because they don't want you to get jealous, right? Because you sit next to a fella that's twice as large as you, and, you know, a woman with a crying baby next to you. There's three of you on a row, and you ain't in the exit row either. But in the people in first class, they got the seats that relax. They got, you say, oh, Mr. Evans, what would you like to have for dinner? You know, we have some salmon and we have some roast pork. And, you know, you get all that. And what are y'all getting back in the back? Peanuts. But you're so used to coach living, you're welcoming those peanuts. You put up with the crying baby. You put up with the fella that's three times as big as you are. Why? Because you're used to coach living. God says that if you simply obey me, I've got some things for you that it will move you from coach living to first class sitting. Ah, y'all just missed it. If you simply will endure in the land, he'll move you. Now, here it also says that Abraham endured in tents. That meant that tabernacles, simply all a tabernacle is a tent. He lived in a tent. Well, you know what? It's like anything else. If you stay there long enough, squatter's rights. Amen. After you stay there long enough, can't nobody kick you out. Amen. Who are y'all property owners? You know what I'm talking about. You don't let them sit there too long, right? You run to the courthouse. I'm like, I got an unlawful detainer. Now you know what I'm talking about. I got an unlawful detainer. You got to go. If you let that individual sit there long enough, all of a sudden they get rights. And then once they get rights, they'll start exercising them rights. Even though you failed to exercise yours, that ain't going to stop them from exercising theirs. Abraham, when he gets into the land, the Bible tells us he starts to dig wells. As he starts to dig wells, you know, his family and his in body, his everybody around him is increasing. He starts to increase in such a way that him and Lot and his people can't get along because there's just too many of them. And so, now, Abraham turns to Lot at one point and tells Lot, choose which way you want to go, man, because we just can't live. I love you. You my nephew. I got mad love for you, but we can't continue to exist this way. You know, so this is what I'm going to do. Now, this is how your uncles that you like, this is how they treat you. He say, pick any direction you want to go, and I'll go the opposite. And, you know, Lot got happy, and he ended up on Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, well, you can have it, because that's another story for another Oprah. But he went that way. But Abraham stayed where, okay, then I'll take everything else that was left. But notice the promise wasn't given to Lot. Lot just rode on the skirt tails of Abraham's promise. Can I make that plain? You know what? Even if the promise ain't given to me, if I ride on the coattails of somebody else's promise, you know there's going to be some excess. That means that the crumbs that fall from the children's table, even the dogs eat. Let me put it to you this way. God blesses in such a way that not only does he bless the one who he say he going to bless, if you're in the wake, you're going to get some of it. I don't know. I'm going to run behind a couple of folk that got something going on. That's the reason why. It's like if I tell my kids all the time, if you want to be a lawyer, find a good lawyer. Run behind him, because at the end of the day, not only will he teach you something, but then you might be able to glean a couple of pieces of work from him. If you want to be a singer, follow a good singer. Maybe that way, you know, and be a backup singer. And then, you know, somebody might find you, and then all of a sudden you got your blessing. Amen. Now, last time I checked, backup singers still get paid. But you got to endure some things. You got to hang out in the land. You got to find and run behind your mentor so that you might be menteed. You got to learn how to do. Matter of fact, Moses and Joshua, mentor and mentee. Moses is always in the face of God, but who's just maybe two steps behind him? Joshua. Joshua is always running behind Moses. And I know, like, and you know what? People are funny, right? I'm going to put a pin here. People are funny. They start tripping because of somebody else you following. And say, well, look at him, brown nose and that guy. Well, you know what? There's blessings in being a brown nose. Because when Moses leaves the scene, who picks up the mantle and becomes the leader? Joshua. Where was Joshua all this time? Running behind Moses. What was it that he was learning while he was running behind Moses? He was learning how to lead. And so when he saw Moses dealing with some hard-headed folk, dealing with some folk that made him upset, dealing with some folk that just wouldn't get on the program, Joshua was sitting there watching and learning. And he, as he was watching and learning, he learned that no matter what it was that Moses went through, God was with him. And so when Joshua was placed in leadership, the promise that God makes Joshua, just like I was with Moses, I'll be with you. Amen. You can only receive the blessing having had a good mentor. You have to endure in the land. They endured in a tent, but then they endured on a promise. Now notice, before Abraham, there was no Hebrews. Abraham was the first Hebrew. Go back and read it in Genesis. He was called from the Ur of the Chaldees. He was a Gentile. God says, from this point forward, you belong to me. And because you belong to me, I'm going to give you a new name. I'm going to give you a new calling. I'm going to give you a promise. And the promise that he gives Abraham is this: I'll bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who will curse you. And you will be a blessing to all nations. Notice he didn't say some nation. He didn't say one nation. He said all nations. I'll make you the father of many sons. Yeah. Amen. Now, y'all remember VBS? Yeah. Y'all would sing the song? Yeah. Father Abraham had many sons. Now, I'm not going to wave my hand in the air and do the march and turn around and sit down. But what is it that we're trying to drive home? The point we're trying to drive home is this, is that Abraham got blessed because Abraham obeyed. My last point, and I'll take my seat. A faith that is worthy of a good report is a faith that calls, a faith that endures, but then it is a faith that envisions. For he says he looked for a city that had foundations whose builder and maker is God. Don't you know that the Bible says that he works with the thoughts and the intents of the believer? In other words, Abraham was able to see with his heart and not with his eye. God never lets you see the finished work. Matter of fact, Abraham never will see the finished work. He'll see it in glory. But he had, at the time that he lived, and God made this promise to him, the same promise that we stand on today, is that when he says, I'll make you a blessing to all nations, that blessing is his son, Jesus. Abraham never saw Jesus with his eye, but he saw him with his heart. And because he saw him with his heart, God said, you are my friend. Because you're my friend, you stepped out from the known to the unknown. Because you're my friend, you trust me, and because you trust me, I'll bless you. True faith trusts God. True faith says, I can't see it with my eye. I can't touch it with my hands. I can't smell it with my nose. I can't even feel it. But because God has said it, and I know God to be faithful and true, and that everything that he has said he will do, I will stand on his word. And so just like Father Abraham, Jesus has come and Jesus has said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man can come to the Father except by me. And so I don't know about you this morning, but I have decided that I'm going to step out on faith. Matter of fact, I already have. For I've believed in my heart, I have confessed with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am saved. I can't speak for you this morning. I don't know what you have said in your heart. I can only tell you what you probably have said from your mouth. But faith requires more than just what you have said. Faith requires that you obey. And obedience to God is this, that not only you believe in your heart, but you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says you shall be saved. You ain't got to do nothing else. You ain't got to go nowhere else. You ain't got to go and sit in the room and wait and tarry. At that very moment that you believe, you go from darkness into the marvelous light. You go from the land of no promise to the land of the promise. You go from darkness into light. I've just come by to let you know this morning that God loves us so much, he would not part with any of us. And if we part from God, it's simply because we've allowed our fear to overrule our faith. There's a songwriter, and the songwriter has said this, I have faith to see the invisible. I have faith to expect the incredible, to receive the impossible. Oh, faith that can conquer anything. Faith that obtrudes all my problems. Oh, faith that know that God can solve it. Faith to vision my freedom. I have faith that can conquer anything. I have faith to reach the unreachable. I have faith to fight the unfightable, the unbeatable. Faith to remove the unmovable. Faith that stands the invincible. Faith that can conquer anything. The word of God has gone forward and is doing those things.